The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is this child living in Nazareth, and why is he so important? He comes from that backward little town way up north. Why has the world paid attention to him for all these years and all these centuries? He was born like other children. He lived with his father and mother, but Joseph really wasn't his father. This child was different. He grew up like other children. Luke here tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He learned from his parents and others. He had a real childhood. Yet there was something different about him. Today, many people want to be like him. They ask themselves, what would Jesus do? Not a bad question. He gave us a perfect example of how God wants human beings to live. But this child was different. He actually did it. He perfectly obeyed God. Luke says he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, was obedient to them. And so I ask myself, what would Jesus do? And I see that I always fall short of what God says. Honor your father and mother. I haven't done that perfectly. Love your enemies. I certainly haven't always done that. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not hate. You shall not lust. You shall not covet. We look at ourselves and we have to say, guilty, guilty, guilty. When we look at Jesus, we can say, perfect, holy, sinless. That's why it's so important for us to know who he is and what he has done. We have to move on to the question, what has Jesus done? Why did Jesus obey his parents? He was God, after all. Why didn't he just zap them into hell? That's what they deserve because they were sinners. God is a God who demands justice and holiness. He can't just overlook sin. But that's precisely why Jesus came to this earth to save Joseph and Mary and you and me, to make us sinners right with God again. He came to be our human brother, to share our humanity, to share our suffering, to suffer in our place, and to live a life in our place that was without any sin at all, the way God intended for Adam and Eve and for all of us to live. If Jesus were a mere human being, simply a child of Adam and Eve, a child of Mary and Joseph, he couldn't do this. But Jesus was unique, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, so that he was without sin. And he is the eternally begotten of the Father, coming forth from him from eternity, without beginning and without end. The reason what Jesus does is so important, and the reason that what Jesus does is so vital and crucial for us, is because he is God. His life, therefore, can substitute for our life, because it's not just a human life. His blood isn't tainted with sin. It is the very blood of God. He pours out this lifeblood for you and for me. He suffers for our sins to make us one with God again. He does this from his very earliest days on earth. He first shed his blood for us when he was circumcised on that eighth day, according to the law of Moses. He placed himself under God's law and lived a life without any sin at all. Who can imagine it? That's not my life. and yet it is my life and yours because Jesus gives his life to you and for you. Jesus didn't have to live in obedience to his parents or love his enemies for his own sake, except that he did because it is true to his person, being God and being perfect. He did it at all times for you and for me, for all the times when we do not do those things. The Son of God made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, made himself poor, that we might become rich in him. What would Jesus do? What has Jesus done? Who is Jesus? These are the questions that determine not only what we are and do today, but where we will be 100 years from now. Where will you be 100 years from now? Very few people live to be 119, certainly not 130 or 150 or 170. But 100 years from now, by the grace of God and by the work of Jesus, our brother, our Savior, and our God, we can all be together again in the heavenly home that he is now preparing for us. After Jesus finished his work of saving mankind, he returned to heaven. And there at the right hand of God, he is still our human brother. He still pleads our case, prays for us to God the Father. He rules and governs our lives and the whole Christian church, yes, the whole world, because he is our Savior, because he is God. Who is this child? His mother Mary knew, because the angel had told her, "You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, Savior. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And when she saw all the things that Jesus did, even as a little child, Luke tells us his mother kept all these things in her heart. In another place, he says, she pondered them. These are things for us to ponder also, to think about every day, to marvel at, to wonder at, to be thankful to God for them, and to show our thankfulness to God by striving in our life to be obedient, to be holy, to show ourselves to be Jesus' brothers and sisters and children of God. Remember who Jesus is and what he has done. Remember who you are, Jesus' little lamb, a child of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, prepared to live with him forever in heaven. Keeping these things in our heart, we have comfort and joy, not only at Christmas, but throughout our lives. Oh, that birth forever blessed, when the Virgin full of grace, by the Holy Ghost conceiving, bore the Savior of our race. And the babe, the world's Redeemer, first revealed his sacred face, evermore and evermore. Joy, oh joy beyond all gladness, Christ hath done away with sadness. Hence all sorrow and repining, for the Sun of Grace is shining. Thanks be to God. Amen.